Evening. Welcome to worship, and a special welcome to our guests and visitors that are here tonight to in-person worship. And for those who are joining us also virtually, we give thanks to God for your presence as we offer praise to our merciful Lord. This is the second Sunday, or the eve of the second Sunday in Lent. We're in the 40 days of Lent, and as you know, we've been collecting soup. And we've got 84 cans as of last week, and people are bringing them in again this week. So thank you. All of that soup is going to go to help people that visit the Salvation Army food pantry here in Rochester. And so thank you all for your generosity to your neighbors in need. Also today, in our service of worship, we'll be having an installation of our 2021 Church Council. And so they will come up, but they will be physically distant for that installation as well. The March Emmanuel Prayer Calendar, thank you, Lee, and also the Epistle Newsletter are both available now. They've been sent out electronically, but there are paper copies in the back. Would encourage you to take one, or if you know of someone that would like to know what God is doing in the life of Emmanuel, please pick those up. And thank you for being prayer warriors. Thank you for praying. There's a lot of people we pray for sometimes that we're not even aware of, right, Larry? Amen. Lots of people we pray for. Also want to say a word of thank you to Pastor Valdemar Gies. He's going to be our guest preacher tonight. I'm very grateful for this. It's been a long week, a very full week, I should say. I got my second COVID Pfizer vaccination shot yesterday. And as you can see, I'm doing well. A little tender in the arm is all. But I wanted to be on the safe side because God's word is so important. I would not want you not to have God's word. So Valdemar will be bringing you the word of the Lord tonight in his sermon on the gospel reading. Also, one other announcement that I want to mention. We have a couple of celebrations. It is Sherry Vomhoff's birthday today. And so we are celebrating that with her and thanking God for the life that the Lord has given her and for her husband Tom and the family. And so we rejoice in her birthday. And also, 61 years of marriage, Don and Jean Owanek. And so we are grateful for that. Like us good men always say, we marry up, right? We hit the jackpot. And so we are grateful to God for his generosity in our lives. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. The others are printed in your bulletin. I invite you then to rise as you are able for our opening hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. eternal and immortal God. Only you are able to transform the hopelessness of a shameful death into the hope and promise of eternal life. Show us the way to stand firm in the promise of eternal life through all of life's trials and tragedies, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word. Our first reading from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, she shall not be called her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm, Psalm 22, and we'll read it responsively. You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from them,
but has heard when he cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied.
Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
And the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Prosperity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Here ends our psalm. Our second reading from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, We have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptizer, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he, Jesus, strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he, Jesus, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We sing the first two verses.
We pray.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the Spirit's consolations through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Our worship readings have to do with covenant, all of them. The covenant that God gives to Avram to become Avraham, the covenant within which the psalmist sings, the covenant which Jesus Christ is in our second reading, and our life within the covenant in the gospel. I recently read a pastor on this Mark 8 text, and you notice I started early and finished late because there's flow. The pastor preaching on "Get Behind Me, Satan," commented, that's something you could only say to a good friend, and a really good friend. And I personally think that pastor was both right and wrong. Mind you, this whole discussion in Mark 8 is in the context of covenant and covenant friendship and intimacy. And still that pastor was both right and wrong. Jesus had been talking about his identity and his mission as he asked his close followers, "Who do people say I am?" And then he asked them, "Okay, now, who do you say that I am?" And Peter impressed me immensely. He came right through and said, "You're the Christ, the anointed." And Jesus says, "Right. It must be the revelation from the Father, since nobody could haul that out of one's mouth on one's own." And then he says, "My mission as Messiah means going to Jerusalem and the cross and death." And at that point, Peter calls him off to the side. And as a friend, I think he rebuked Jesus. "Jesus, shape up, get your attitude right. Quit trash talking yourself and get it together." And Jesus names him Satanos. And yes, the devil, but also the opponent, for Peter was resisting Jesus. And he said, "You are setting your mind not on heavenly," that is on God's things, "but on human earthly things." "You missed my point, Peter," is what Jesus means. And yes, that's where that pastor was right. That can really only be spoken by a friend. Friendship lets us say things that otherwise we couldn't say. We wouldn't bother to say, wouldn't have to say. As I've gotten older, I've realized I don't have to correct everybody when I know they're wrong. But that's not the point, because I think, unlike that pastor may have thought, I think Jesus would have said it to anyone speaking like Peter was speaking. Although, and this is where I flop back on the other side, isn't Jesus being Peter's friend and anybody else's friend when he says what he says? Is not that what friendship is? Good friendship, actual friendship, friendship that can disagree and maybe even must. There is a closeness. This is blunt talk. And they cared enough for each other to be clear and confront. This is exactly what friendship must be at times. Friendship, as somebody who cares would respond, not a wimpy kind of pseudo-friend. I sometimes hear people say something on the order of, I can tell her anything and she accepts me totally. Well, that's good as long as that doesn't mean it's a variant of whatever. Have you heard that whatever? Maybe I'll listen to you or you'll listen to me and we're really whatevering one another. Friendship, genuine, strong, is love. And love means we care enough to struggle. Parents care enough that they discipline their children, and children care enough that they speak with their parents. And sometimes as we've gotten older, we start parenting our parents, don't we? Friendship means asking the hard questions, disagreeing, and wrestling together. My brother Stephen and I are 17 months apart in birth. I'm the elder, so I regularly tell him I'm the wiser. We grew up close. He was probably my best friend when we were little. And we ended up bloodying each other every now and then, sometimes by misguided intent, and sometimes, I didn't know that an elbow could do that. We ended up having our ups and downs, and then we also stood up for each other at our weddings. We still wrestle. We still talk about politics. We talk about Christian faith. He's mad at God. I usually tell him, well, I'm going to pray for you, and he knows I mean that truly, and it also is a brother teasing his brother. The question is, why bother if you don't care? If you never have tension of disagreement, usually that means either you're not being honest or you don't have any place to grow in your relationship. Unconditional friendship is not two narcissists talking two separate monologues, not even one narcissist talking a single monologue. Lord, deliver me from either of those conversations. Friends are part of a larger family. Friends sometimes end up having to speak for God, although we're sometimes awkward about it. And what God has to say isn't always easy, pleasant, or nice. God is holy, not nice. We choose our friends, but we don't choose our families, sort of. Both sides of that are partly wrong. We, in a sense, don't choose our families, they chose us. But in another sense, we do choose families. I didn't choose to move to Waverly, Iowa when I was four. I didn't choose David Nappiasek as a kid to play six-year-old football in the backyard. He was a nasty bully, and I still don't like him, even after he's been dead 8 years. I choose to invite Aunt Bertha for Thanksgiving, but Uncle Jay doesn't get my invitation. I'll call up Cousin Art, but I won't talk to Cousin Walt. Even among relations, we pick and choose. And the friends that I chose, well, I didn't really choose David. We ended up connected. Choices with whom to walk home were hardly my choices, depended on who was going where. A lot of our friendships arise out of other people's choices. Friends with other parents when our kids go to the same school. End up friends of someone we talk to after a church service. Someone we keep running into a store, in a store. Friends who may like the Twins or the Denver Broncos in my sister Roberta's case. As one author put it, we may choose among people, but our pool of possible friends is circumstantial. It depends on where we are and who we are. I think we best call it God's grace, connecting people with as little in common as kids the same age or driving to the same place to go to work. With tensions of difference, of disagreement, that's part of God's blessings as we grow and change and struggle. When I was in my first call, I didn't plan on becoming friends and co-workers with people involved in prison curcio or with prisoners. When Lutheran Social Service in the person of the vice president of that region came knocking on my door, very nice guy asked me, "You want to be a prison chaplain?" And I told him, quote unquote, "No." But what I think and what God thinks, those are two different critters. We come here struggling with what is important in our lives. Not getting sick with COVID so we get our shots, right? Keeping the family together and connected well. Having enough money and keeping a job, living in faith, keeping our congregation healthy and faithful. Keeping communities going in the midst of necessary physical distancing, which I call antisocial distancing. We keep on keeping on. We come here struggling with what is important in our lives and struggling with what is important in our lives is what is going on in our gospel this evening. Not getting killed, not getting hurt, not doing anything stupid like taking the risk of going to Jerusalem. Those are high priorities for Peter. Those are not Jesus' priorities. And to talk about Jesus' priorities, I have to tell you about Telemachus. He's a late 4th century AD Eastern Christian Church monk. He chose to leave the world and live isolated in a desert in prayer and meditation and fasting so as to save his soul. In his solitary life, his only contact was with God. And somehow he knew there was something wrong. And he finally abruptly realized that his life was not selfless love of God, but selfish love of God. And that to serve God, he couldn't be absent from the others. He had to serve others. Out in the desert was a place of conflict with the devil, but it was no place to live, for the cities were full of sin and in full of need. This guy was a radical, so he struck out for Rome on the opposite side of the Greco-Roman Empire. By that time, Rome was officially Christian. He arrived in Rome just in time to celebrate traditionally with the others the victory of General Stilicho over the Goths as the young Emperor Honorius escorted Stilicho in procession, escorted him past the pagan temples that now were Christian churches, and finally to the arena. For Christian Rome still had the arena with its gladiatorial games, and no longer were Christians executed there, but the losers in battles were the ones thrown to the lions and the other animals and forced to fight. In that large arena with 80,000 seats full, the gladiators who carried, in Latin, gladius, the sword. Those who fought would march out saying, "Hail Caesar, we who are about to die salute you," in Latin, of course. And Telemachus saw people for whom Jesus died, killing others for whom Jesus died, to amuse the Christian population. He leaped the barrier into the midst of the gladiators, and it was like somebody hit pause on your DVR. The crowd started shouting, "Let the games go on." The gladiators, the combatants, pushed Telemachus aside, and he dove back into the melee. The crowd threw stones, shouting for the gladiators to kill him. "Get on with the games." The commander of the games gave the order. A sword was raised and slashed, and Telemachus lay dead. The crowd was abruptly silent, shocked. And the games ended that day right then and there. and they never resumed. Telemachus, in his death, ended them. Gibbon, the 20th century historian of ancient Rome, remarked, "His death was more useful to mankind than his life." Or to put it in what I'd think to be Christian terms, by losing his life for Christ, for the gospel, he did more than he probably could ever have done by preserving his life out in the lonely desert devotion. God has given us our lives not to hoard, but to spend. If I live my life carefully, think of first of my profit, my ease, my comfort, my future, my safety, if I make no effort except for myself, if we make no effort except for ourselves, we are losing life all the time. As we spend ourselves and our lives following Jesus and loving our Heavenly Father and the others around us, without starting with the focus on me, health, my time, my wealth, my comfort, we are winning life all of the time. Back to Jesus and Peter and Jesus' words to Peter. It is part of our self-giving that we express disagreement, even amid tensions. And we need criticism, we modern-day Americans. There is a nasty part of our American culture which is almost self-worship. It is a kind of narcissism and idolatry of my feelings. Listen to regular conversation. "Well, I feel..." Okay. "So what?" I hear echoes of what I heard in the 60s from my own generation's lips, and in the 70s, "If it feels good, do it." I think that's every bit as valid as what Curly used to say among the Three Stooges, the one they'd say, "All for one, one for all," and then he'd shout, "And me for myself." Not a good idea. In the midst of all of our self-help and improvement books, our culture seems to ignore friendship. And our Lord Jesus does not. Friendship is what Jesus is giving St. Peter, honest, difficult gift of God. Friendship to somebody who wasn't perfect any more than I'm perfect or you're perfect. And friendship from Jesus brings tension and salvation. If you want to be my followers, deny yourselves, take up your crosses, and come follow me. Christ Jesus' friendship transforms. He chose his friends from a limited pool. Not one was perfect. Imperfect Peter denied his friend Jesus three times. Lonely, broken Peter meets the risen Jesus and is no longer the same. He becomes a rock. Peter, rocky, prepared and shaped by friendship, as somebody said. I'd mentioned I was a prison chaplain almost against my will. I was at the Rockwell City, Iowa, men's state, then medium security prison for 3 years, and also became active in prison Curseals for about 14 years all over Iowa and Nebraska. It was there I heard about a really faithful, pious volunteer in this kind of a crash course in Christ, a long weekend with prisoners talking about faith and having them talk about their Christian faith. I heard about an outside volunteer who was pious and good working with prison inmates. In that prison, attached to that kitchen, there worked one of the more foul-mouthed prisoners. And everybody, prisoners and the people involved in Curseal, wanted to see what happened when the outside volunteer dealt with this guy that had a really bad mouth. After being there and hearing him talk about Jesus Christ and this and that, that outside volunteer very quietly walked over to him and gently said, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. You see, Jesus Christ is my best friend, and I don't want people to talk badly about my friends. Jesus Christ became a friend to us in his life, death, and resurrection. There is one reality that Jesus Christ is our friend. It was in that Crucio context I learned, amigos de Christos, we're friends of the Lord, for we've been forgiven and redeemed, it goes on to say. There is the one reality, and that leaves only two questions. Jesus is my friend, so am I a friend of Jesus? Which also involves the second question, am I your friend? I keep thinking of that hymn we don't sing often enough. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of service for me. One reality, that Jesus is our crucified and risen friend and Savior. And two questions about whether I'm his friend and yours. Matters of importance. Importance for life now, and matters of importance to life everlasting. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
We join in the two verses remaining of our hymn.
Give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Thank you, Voldemar. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Congregation may be seated. I want to at this time invite our 2021 Emmanuel Lutheran Church Council members to come forward for a service of installation. The following persons have been elected by the Emmanuel Lutheran Church congregation to positions of leadership, and they assume their duties faithfully as ambassadors of Christ. They are Barbara Stephenson, President, Debbie Vomhoff, Vice President, Don Holton, Secretary, and Judy Cottle, Treasurer. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberates us from sin and death and makes us members of his church. Through his word and sacrament, we are nurtured in the faith, and together we have confessed our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. St. Paul writes, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives to everyone ability for particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all." Council members, elected leaders, you have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation and chosen by God and your Lord and Savior Jesus to serve. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith reflect him in whose name we gather. You are to work together with other members to see that the worship and work of Christ are done in this congregation, and that God's will is done in this community and throughout the world. You are to be diligent in your specific area of serving, that the one Lord who empowers you is indeed glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, to help maintain the life and harmony of this congregation, living out the friendship of Christ, your love of God, God's love for you, and your friendship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so on behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you ready to accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, answer yes by the help of God. And people of God, gathered as members of this congregation, as friends of Christ and friends of this congregation, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all the baptized? If so, answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
I now declare each of you installed as officers and council members of this congregation. May God bless you with his Holy Spirit, that you may prove faithful servants of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please return to your seats, then. We rise as we are able for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, we thank you for Peter and all the apostles, the saints and martyrs who boldly confessed Jesus as Lord and God. We thank you for pastors, for seminary professors, for mentors and spiritual guides who help each of us do the same. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Inspire your church to boldly and faithfully acclaim Jesus to the world as your only Son, its only Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Son did not shrink from suffering and death. Grant grace to all who are persecuted for Jesus' sake, so that they glory in his cross and rejoice in the promise of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach the people of Emmanuel to follow Jesus in humble service and cross-bearing. Let our worship, our words, and lives glorify you and build up the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Through your everlasting covenant with Abraham and Sarah, you blessed all nations. Grant to all people the blessings of peace, freedom, and righteousness, which apart from you cannot flourish. Guide our nation and our words and deeds, that what we say and do may please you and glorify you as Lord of the whole earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift before you the needs and prayers of all who cry out to you for help. Especially we pray this day for McKenna Studer, Brian Belter, Karen Peterson, Leroy's sister Elaine, Keith Hammerbeck, Barbara Stephenson, Kelly Stoyles, Dan Brooklyn, Nancy Webster, Kathy Geese, Larry Vamhoff, Meryl Sunday, James Kelly, David Schaefer and his mother Marlis, Daryl Bothan, Gail Jepson, Nancy and Rick Stockman. Lord, we pray also your blessings upon all who celebrate Holy Christian Marriage, and all who celebrate birthdays, and all who celebrate friendship with you. Grant, we pray, the joy of your saving help, and restore your children to health and hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your hands, most merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Congregation may be seated for our dismissal hymn, Beautiful Savior.
Thank you.
Our Lenten dismissal. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thanks
be to God.